Hi, I am Bobby Olson,
and I'm Dan Burke, and this is Lazy Dog Films.
Good, good. This is Bobby,
and this is Dan.
All right, I'll try to distinguish the two during the interview. I'm Jonathan from
Lazy
Dog Films.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's fine.
All right. So, first off, I wanted to let you guys know I really enjoyed the film. I really enjoyed it, Bobby. Pretty surprising.
Well, thank you.
So I heard that that you guys got picked up at Slam Dance.
We did, yeah. We were lucky enough to do a deal with Archstone for our international distribution. So they went and took the film and started exposing it to some buyers at Berlin, and they'll be doing some screenings at Cannes, and hopefully, you know, we'll. Our friends around the world will be able to see the movie pretty soon.
Oh, that's great. Wanted to ask you, where did the idea for Body come from? In the press kit, it says that you wanted a film that explored what it was, the battle between survivalism and moralism. Can you elaborate a little further on that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the idea itself kind of came from necessity, really. Dan and I wanted to, you know, to make our first feature, and you know, we kind of been around long enough to learn that nobody's going to just hand that to you. So we wanted to make something that would be affordable to shoot. So we knew we wanted it to be one location, and we knew we wanted it to be. A genre film, either a horror, a thriller, something like that, because that's what we like to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of went into it with a couple parameters that would shape the ideas that we came up with. So we kind of batted things around back and forth, and we eventually found out that we were going to potentially have access to this location, this giant mansion. And so then the stories kind of were narrowed down to things that could take place in this particular mansion. And so it was more of a process than just, you know, waking up in the middle of the night with a lightning bolt. You know, we built it based on what we thought we would be able to go out there and raise money ourselves and execute, you know. I mean, we weren't going to write a film about, like, dinosaurs in space or something that we weren't going to be able to find the money to do. And then once we got to there, we just started batting around these different ideas, and yeah, the whole moralism versus survivalism thing was a big part of it, but that didn't come until we sort of had the idea already a little bit fleshed out, and then we kind of went into it and we said, okay, well, what do we want to say with this story? What do we want to explore with these characters? And so that's kind of where that all came from.
And how long did it guys take you to actually come up with the idea, and from planning to end of production?
We can see the idea in probably fall, maybe the transition between fall and winter in 2013. We wrote the script pretty quickly. We were very, very kind of excited about it, and we outlined it probably in a day or a couple days, and then you know, the writing was probably no more than maybe 2 months, you know, with obviously a couple of drafts in there and sending it around to friends and kind of getting people's thoughts. And then we went into production pretty quickly. I mean, once the financing came together very quickly, so we were shooting by March, and it was 11 overnights, so the production was very quick. So from probably conception to, you know, being finished with production, you know, I want to say maybe 4 months or so, and then, you know, post took about 2 months or so. From being completely finished with the film, you know, and having it out to some festivals, the entire process was probably between 6 and 7 months. So it was definitely very quick. And, you know, that's kind of how Bobby and I work, but it was also just the idea really, you know, it kind of began to write itself once we got started. You know, we were just very, very passionate and excited about it, so it kind of rolled along very quickly.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of writer's block. It was kind of more just getting everything down and then refining.
So how do you pitch a movie like this to get funded? How do you go to investors and say, throw in some money because we have this sort of idea going around there. I mean, it's not a thriller like this is, I wouldn't say it's a niche type of genre, but it plays to a core audience. So how do you go about, you know, asking for funds, for funding?
Right. Well, you know, at that point, we weren't just sort of pitching just the idea. By the time we were looking for funding, we had the script. So we were really confident in it. And, you know, the people that we were going out to, we knew that they were people who wanted to get involved in film. And, you know, so we just, you know, we sent them the script and we let the script kind of speak for itself. You know, there was never a point where we were sitting there just pitching the idea and, you know, and all that. And as far as the genre goes, you know, we find that it's a little bit easier to try to make your investors their money back on a thriller than say a drama or something like that. I think there's kind of a built-in audience for horror and thrillers, and you don't really find that as much with, you know, family dramas. If this were like a movie about our grandfather who had Alzheimer's or something like that, you really have to, you know, that has to be more talent driven and things like that. Whereas there's a market for movies that have, you know, names that aren't necessarily household names, but it's a genre that people like to watch, you know, horror and thriller.
Okay. How, from, in terms of, not in terms of getting into slam bands, but how do you get people, I think you kind of answered that already, how do you get people to see your film? What, how would you say, how would you try to differentiate your film in order for some Joe Schmo to watch the movie?
I think The Body is a film that's going to kind of benefit most from the kind of like word of mouth type marketing, and that, you know, films like, you know, like Catfish, for example, an entirely different movie, but like, you know, that's a film that spread like wildfire because people were deeply committed to not spoiling the film but letting people know that you got to see it. I think that's something from in the DNA of this movie that Bobby and I were very sort of careful and calculated to inject from an early stage, was that we wanted to have very compelling twists and turns and make the storytelling really be like the hero of this project, and try to surprise viewers and you know, never always keep them on their toes. So I think that you kind of get people to see this movie by just saying like, you got to see what happens. You know, the way that we plan on marketing it, and you know, we'll obviously have to talk to our distributors and whatnot and see what they want to do, but you know, we kind of want to market this film as much as a traditional kind of slasher or traditional thriller or traditional home invasion film as we can, and really leave the audience in the dark as to what actually happens, especially in the sense of our protagonists kind of becoming antagonists. We feel like that's the most unique component of this film from a narrative standpoint, and that's sort of what should be the heart of the marketing campaign and ultimately what will make people want to see it after hearing from friends that have seen it. That's the kind of feedback that we've gotten more than anything else, is that people don't know what's coming next and are always surprised at you know, every stage of the viewing experience.
Okay, and I don't want to try to give anything away to anyone who's going to be listening to this at a later date, but the ending in the film, was that originally what you guys had in mind, or did it change between from when you started outlining to the day of shooting?
Yeah, you know, it did change, but very, very early on. I, you know, without going too much into specifics, I think we originally had talked about having an ending that was maybe a little less bleak, but the more that we sort of dove into the themes of the story and everything, we thought a bleak ending fit. And so I think it was pretty early on, though. I think we knew that was going to be the ending before we were actually writing. I think that was at the outline stage that we were maybe considering ending the film in a different way, but it didn't turn out that way.
And I want to ask you about that. You said that you considered going with an ending that was less bleak. I have to know that. How would you have ended it if it on a not so bleak, less dark ending? I have to know that, because that sounds very interesting to me.
Well, you know, I think basically we had essentially the privileged information or whatever, but something where the girl who survives is not so corrupted, where they kind of escape that situation without they themselves being transformed into villains.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we just felt that was a little bit more traditional, and that was kind of the mantra going into this, was we kind of wanted to try to buck trend wherever we could. So.
Okay. All right. I can see where why you've made that choice. So.
Yeah.
How was the reception at Slam Dance?
It was phenomenal. It was a really, really great experience. It was obviously the world premiere. Bobby's my first feature, so it was definitely our first rodeo, and it was a really, really cool experience for us. The film was very well received in its premiere, and I had to leave Park City, but Bobby was there for a second screening, and he said it was great as well. We had terrific Q&As, really, really engaged audiences, and. Yeah, I mean it was excellent. It was the first time that we've seen the film with a crowd that wasn't the cast and crew of the film.
Mm.
So it was really exciting seeing how certain plot points and little gags and whatnot hit. You know, whether they were trying to elicit laughs or gasps, scares, emotional moments, what have you, from the audience. And
mm-hmm.
It was really cool when those things did work. It was definitely a It was a very new experience for Bobby and I. It was really, really fulfilling. So yeah, we were happy. And of course, we got the we sold our international rights, and that we certainly didn't expect that. So we definitely had a pretty charmed experience in Park City this time around.
Okay, I guess what makes it a little bit more surprising, I guess, for people is that they go some. I guess most people go in cold, not knowing what they're about to watch. Maybe I'm a little too critical, but I go into everything, if I can, cold. That way I can try to be surprised, because most everything now is they show their hand in 1 minute, 2 minute trailers. And before I saw the movie, I didn't read the press kit. I didn't see the trailer. I just went in watching it. Because...
Right, yeah, that's what we want.
Yeah, and pleasantly surprised. I was, and the acting is actually pretty good. I wanted to ask, how did you get, how did the film come together in terms of the actors and the crew and,
sure.
and the cinematographer?
Yeah, as far as the actors go, basically the way that all shook out was Helen Rogers, who plays Holly, is a friend of ours from college. We've worked with her on a ton of things. We're a huge fan of her work, and hopefully we get to work with her on a bunch more stuff in the future. We think she has a really great future ahead of her. She was the only one that we kind of knew right off the bat we wanted her. You know, we wrote the script knowing that we were going to give her that part, but she was the only one like that. Then we kind of went into it, and... a friend of ours, also producer on the film, Chad Harbold, he had worked on a film with Lauren not long before that Helen was actually also in, and so, you know, we kind of had glowing recommendations for her. Lauren Molina, who plays Mel, we had glowing recommendations from her coming from two different people, and she came in and just totally murdered the audition, and so that was another easy call. And then it was a lot harder to find Alex Tershin, because that role was is very specific. We saw a lot of different actresses come in, and some of them had the look but they didn't have the attitude. Some of them had the attitude but they didn't have the look. And it was kind of at the last minute that we found Alex. We were days away from shooting, and she came in and just wound up being, you know, so much better than we ever thought somebody could be. So we really lucked out with the girls, mainly because they're not, you know, they've all done a lot of stuff, but they're not, you know, household names or anything mm-hmm. like that. So, you know, every time you're casting relative unknowns, you're kind of rolling the dice, and we just really lucked out and found, you know, these three incredible actresses. And then Larry, we had some dealings with him in the past. We had a couple of friends who have worked on some movies for Glass Eye Picks, his company, and so Dan and I didn't have a close personal relationship with him, but we were able to get the script to him, and he, thank God, agreed to come on, and he was just a total dream to work with. He's such a filmmaker's actor, because he's a filmmaker himself, and so he's just, his energy when he's on set, his willingness to just go all in on anything. I mean, he spends, you know, most of the movie lying on the ground, but he just kept this amazing aura about him that just made everybody, you know, grind and work harder. And he, you know, like for the scene where he falls down the stairs, like he wanted to do it. He wanted to fall down the stairs himself. And we had to basically physically hold him back from doing that and let the stuntman do his job. But we were, you know, blessed when it came to finding all those actors.
Awesome. That's great. Now I wanted to ask about you two, you Dan and Robert. How did you guys come together? I don't know if you like being called Robert or Bob.
Yeah, you can call me Bobby. It's no big deal.
All right. How did you guys come together?
So, yeah, Bobby and I we went to NYU together. We actually were randomly assigned as roommates our freshman year at New York University. So that was just kind of very serendipitous. And we just kind of, you know, we were best friends for a number of years, and then we knew we had a shared interest in film, and we started, us and our two other very good friends from New York University, started a production company right after college, or actually during our senior year, sort of a short form focus, you know, commercials, music videos, what have you, but we all knew that we wanted to do film and television ultimately. And then at some point down the line, we decided to pull the trigger and started writing some features in TV. And, you know, we were able to get one or two things financed here and there. And after that, Bobby and I started writing together a bit more exclusively as a pair. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Bobby is our first kind of experiment with kind of doing everything co. So we co-wrote it, co-directing, co-producing, and the model worked pretty well. So we're going to continue doing it.
Great. I wanted to ask you about any inspiration that you guys have from other directors or other writers?
Yeah, you know, we went into it with, you know, we obviously went and kind of sat there and watched a lot of single location movies. I think, you know, just from that sort of standpoint, with Funny Games was a really big influence, both Funny Games. Mm-hmm. You know, just in terms of like keeping something fresh that's all taking place in a house, you know, and kind of the sort of mild use of violence. And I think also just from like a story standpoint, Shallow Grave was another one for us, Danny Boyle's movie, just because it was just really, you know, similar thematically in terms of, you know, you have these characters and there's sort of this playing hot potato with this body and stuff. So, and then, you know, from a story standpoint, we always, rather from like a pacing twist and turn, like from a pacing standpoint, we really liked Wolf Creek, which is a great, great Australian horror movie, because they do an awesome job of it being kind of a slow burn, which this sort of is, not as much as Wolf Creek. Wolf Creek, like the first 45 minutes, there's basically nothing scary that happens. And then, you know, when it does, it kind of comes out of left field. And so we want to do the same sort of thing where you spend the first quarter of the film, you know, just with these girls and getting to know them, so that when we do get around to all of
all of the you know, violence and death and things like that, you actually give a shit about them. So yeah, you know, I mean, a million things, but those are the ones that we actually went and, you know, studied beforehand.
Okay, and in terms of filmmakers, you talked about the inspiration for Body. What about as individual filmmakers, yourselves? Where do you pull inspiration from, or who do you look up to or admire in terms of your own work?
I think that certainly with Body, but I would say it's a storytelling principle that we want to always be upholding and always injecting into our work. We very often talk about Alfred Hitchcock as somebody who is kind of a master storyteller in that exact sort of subsection of storytelling, which is, you know, always leaving the audience guessing and never allowing them to be fully complacent, you know, as they digest the narrative, and always making sure that they're on their toes and switching things up and subverting things that they're expecting. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely something that pretty heavily went into the conception of Body, and I think, you know, goes into all of the work that we do. We never want to write a story that only operates kind of on one level. And we always like to, you know, even when the genre doesn't necessarily ask for it, always like to have as much, you know, twisting and turning as we can. And it just makes the viewing experience more exciting and makes everything you're putting on screen more compelling.
Okay. Which job do you prefer? Which aspect of filmmaking do you guys enjoy more? Writing, producing, or directing?
I would say that we probably both like writing and directing more than we do producing. I think producing is kind of something that you're more, it enhances everything else. If you're kind of producing your own film, it gives you that much more control. If you don't know how to do it, or if you don't know how to do it right, then you can very easily lose control or lose a grip over what you want to do creatively. So I think that's kind of a means to an end, producing. But I think with writing and directing, it's totally different. I mean, I guess maybe directing for me, but like, you know, it's kind of, when you're directing something that you've written, it all becomes part of the same creative process anyway, so I don't really separate them all that much.
I have to say, I think that it's not so much about separating, but I think, like, the directing, I'd have to say, is the most rewarding of any component of the process. Like, being on set and seeing the machine working is pretty magical. Like, I can't like, even compare it to anything, like, in my life. It's like, you know, just having, you know, 30 of your, like, good friends around you all doing a little job contributing to this goal, and you know, standing by the monitor and watching actors do their work and seeing everything kind of working well, and when it is working well, that's definitely cooler than sitting in front of a blank script.
There's a real thrill there, because everything's happening, you know. I think a lot of it is, I think directing can just, I think at the end of the day you'd say directing, but I think that's because at that point you know that it's happening.
Right.
You're directing the movie, so it's happening. You know, whereas like when you're writing, you don't know if you're writing that script that no one's going to give a shit about and is going to sit on the shelf for the rest of your life and you're never going to make. You know, so it's not the same kind of electricity as actually being there and, you know, watching these, you know, these images that you're creating, and you're standing there watching the monitor and the actors are really there and it's really happening. But you know, you wouldn't be there if you didn't write that script to get there, you know what I mean? And that's kind of what we always want to do. We always want to be directing our own material. So, you know, directing gets all the glory, I think.
Well, any advice for someone new, someone young, getting into the filmmaking industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is just to do it. You know, I'm sure that's the number one most given piece of advice, but, you know, there aren't really any excuses anymore. You can go out there and shoot a film with a cheap camera. You can shoot with your friggin' phone nowadays, you know. So there's, as long as you're out there and doing something, you know, we went to film school, and film school was great, and but, you know, I think you can learn just as much by just getting on a set and just doing something. You know, you can't expect to be going out there and, like, making a bunch of money or anything like that, but if you want to work on a movie, you can do it. You just have to get out there and PA and work your way up, and, you know, just being on set as much as you humanly can. And then the times when you're not on set, if you're more of just a writer director type, you want to just be focusing on just that, you know, I think making it your job, you know, we come in and we work together every day, you know, 9 to 5, no matter what we have going on, even if it's just to come in and think of new ideas and brainstorm and come up with a new, but just to take that time out of your day and not just sit there and wait for a creative lightning bolt to strike, you know, like, you actually have to put in the 10,000 hours and try to master your craft.
Okay. And that was actually my final question, so I'm going to give you guys the floor to pitch yourselves, give us your Twitters, your Facebooks, where we can find the film.
Sure, yeah. I think the Facebook is facebook.com/bodythemovie. There's not a Twitter account for it. We're not really Twitter guys. But that's probably the best way to do it, is the Facebook group.
Our production company's website is lastpictures.com, like last is in the opposite of first, pictures.com.
And yeah, those are the best ways to get in touch with us.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, you know, we're keeping busy right now. We can't talk too much about it yet, but we're, fingers crossed, going to be shooting another movie in the spring. So hopefully we'll have something else for you to interview us about in a couple of months.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the interview. Thank you for taking the time. And good luck with
Thank you guys
body.
So much. Y'all were great. That was a great interview. Thank you all.